Welcome to episode 362 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on the 23rd of January 2015. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday at 12 p.m. Melbourne time. Rate us on iTunes and like us at facebook.com/techwebcast. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast and download the Tech Webcast iPhone app. Your hosts for today are Brad, Jacob, Steve, Jennifer, Ben and Daryl. And our special guest is Kaylee from Tomorrow's Lemonade Stand.
If you like new stuff before anybody else, if you like to keep your finger on the pulse, if you like the future and want to be in it, keep on listening because we'll start in a minute. Tech Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. Cause technology, it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Ha! Stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah! Tech Webcast. Ha! Ha! Tech Webcast. Let's go!
Hello, Brad.
Hello, Daryl. How are you, mate?
I'm good, mate. How's yourself?
Good. How's your week been?
Busy at work leading up to, you know, the long, long sort of weekend that we have here in Australia with Australia Day coming up Tuesday. Yep. So, yeah, it was, but then I've got holidays coming up the week after next, so
That's really good.
But, yeah, one of those sort of weeks of sort of running around the office. But, yeah, it's been a good week, though. Productive.
All right. And also we got Jennifer back on. Jennifer, back.
I am back. How's it going?
Good.
Thank you.
How's your week been, Jen?
It's been an interesting week. We've been having a lot of things going on at work, and then we have the weather. We have really bad, nasty snowstorms and ice and all that fun stuff right now. So everyone's kind of snowed in and stuck in their homes.
Ooh. Cool. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Raining here today and stuff, and I love rain. It's been good weather here today.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, the sun's out.
Oh, pretty.
We have got Jacob on. Welcome, Jacob, back to the podcast for another exciting episode.
Thank you, Brad.
How's your week been, mate?
Cold. Trying to help my mom with physical therapy.
Okay. Good stuff.
When she had that stroke.
Is she okay now?
Yes.
All right, cool. And you also set up Facebook for her too.
She set it up, but I had to change her password because she was having too many problems.
Okay. Does she know that I added her on Facebook?
I actually added you.
Okay, you added me. All right, cool, mate. I hope she uses it. Who else we got on? We got Ben on. Welcome, Ben.
Hey, how are you going?
First time to the podcast.
Yeah, first time. Thanks very much for inviting me along. I'm sure I'm going to enjoy it.
I'm sure you will. How's your week been, mate? Anything exciting you want to mention?
Not much. I've really just got back into my regular broadcast season. So I'm also a regular technology expert on 6PR Radio in Perth. That's a talkback station. So just slid behind the mic again for 2016 and, had a decent start and looking forward to it again on Monday.
Good stuff, mate. Good stuff. We've got some cool news stories coming up too, so you may want to come to hear your opinion on them.
Oh, yeah.
Who else do we have here? We've got Kaylee on. Welcome, Kaylee.
Hi, thank you.
How's your week been? Anything exciting happened? And you got snow over there too.
Yeah, we got a lot of snow. We only had a one-day week at school this week, so that was exciting. It was basically we had Martin Luther King Day on Monday, so we didn't go to school that day. On Tuesday, it was a teacher work day, so we didn't go to school then. Then Wednesday, we had school. And Thursday and Friday, we were snowed in. So that was exciting for me, but I'm not sure it was for my parents.
I said you would have been happy about that.
I have, yes. It's very exciting for me.
All right. Steve, welcome back, Steve.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Fun to be back again this week. Yeah, not a lot has been going on recently. for me.
I got an iPad Pro, Steve. I'm not sure if you knew that or not.
Oh, no, no, not really. I didn't. I did think. I think I seen a post or something about the iPad Pro. Not that you actually had it. I didn't know.
Oh, mate, I love it. It's the best.
It's big. It's like more of the iPad.
It is. I love it, especially watching movies and TV shows and Twitter.
Supposedly, this is like a faster processor or something.
It does, yes. It does. And welcome to who do we have on the line here? Alicia.
Yes, hi.
Hey, Alicia, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. Tell us about what who you are and how's your week been?
My week has been really great. So I am Alicia Thompson. I have macular degeneration in the form of Stargardt's, and I work for a big banking finance company. I've been there 25 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Stuff. All right. Okay, that's good to have you on the show. We're going to have a talk to you about what you do as well very soon, Alicia.
Thank you.
And let's go into some news, Daryl, eh?
Yeah, I think Jennifer's going to do our news today, so that'll be great.
Okay. Here we go, Jen.
Thanks, Brad. And our first story today is coming from MacRumors.com. Apple has released Music Memos, which is an all-new iPhone and iPad app that's essentially an enhanced version of the stock Voice Memos app for songwriters. Music Memos is designed for musicians and songwriters to quickly and easily capture their impromptu song ideas on the fly whenever the inspiration strikes. The app has a simple user interface and at first glance with nothing but a small recording button, but tucked away behind tiny icons are several useful features. You can begin recording by opening the Music Memos app and tapping on the circle button, and the user interface will turn red while recording. And you can also tap on the auto label in the top left corner, and the app will automatically start and stop recording based on your voice. There's also some additional options available in there. So if you are a singer or a songwriter, definitely check out this app, Music Memos by Apple. Also in Apple news, we have a new app, Starbucks. This is actually, I think, an iPhone-only app. Starbucks app now lets you save Spotify playlists you're hearing in its stores. So actually, you guys, I think I'm reading the wrong story. I scrolled ahead. Here we go. My bad. Apple releases an Apple story, like I promised you. Apple releases iMovie for Mac 10.1.1 with YouTube sharing fix, stability improvements, and more. So the same day that it released 10.11.3 to the public, Apple now pushed an update to its iMovie editing software, which bumps the app to version 10.1.1 and includes primarily under-the-hood bug fixes and performance enhancements, some of which are going to be welcomed by all of us, I'm sure. First off, Apple says that the update fixes an issue with YouTube sharing that would prevent a user from signing in if they had multiple accounts. The update also fixes an issue relating to applying white balance adjustments to clips, as well as one that corrects in display of still images. Another change is that now that the clips are copied when dragged from the project media area to the events area of the library list. Next story is coming from The Verge, and it is all about those dangerous hoverboards. If you ride a hoverboard and don't follow these government recommendations, you could die. Beware. So for the most part, everyone progresses from crawling to walking. Then some are more adventurous and they go off and they try riskier but fun activities like skiing, rock climbing. And then for the true adrenaline junkie, we have hoverboards. According to a letter from the chairman of the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission, hoverboards are really quite dangerous and the commission is actively investigating the companies that make or sell them. There are ways that the hoverboard could kill you, including cracking, fire thanks to exploding batteries, or perhaps the most risky risk of all, which is falling off. also in the news. Next story is about the Nest thermostat leaked zip codes over the internet. So if you're not familiar with the Nest thermostat, that's that wonderful Internet of Things thermostat that is available where you can control it from afar. And now Nest may be the poster child for the so-called Internet of Things, but as it turns out, even one of the most popular connected devices, which is owned by Google, Alphabet, no less isn't free from the security flaws. Researchers at Princeton University have found that until recently, Alphabet's popular Nest thermostat was leaking zip codes of its users over the internet. This data was transmitted unencrypted or in the clear, meaning that anyone sniffing traffic could have intercepted it, according to the researchers. The researchers also studied several other smart devices, including Shark security camera, a Pixar smart photo frame, and Samsung's SmartThings Hub. The goal of the research wasn't to find specific bugs in these devices, but to determine if information was being leaked when the devices communicated with their servers in the cloud. In-N-Out pops up in Australia and sells out in 10 minutes. So for you guys out in Australia, if you're into In-N-Out Burger and unhealthy food, California's cult burger chain is back in Australia, and this time is popping up at a Sydney bar and attracting a crowd of hundreds wanting a taste of their special sauce. For one day only, In-N-Out is selling its famous double burger, and basically, in short, they had a line and they sold out. Also in the news is coming from Silicon Beat, and it's about San Francisco's Ustream. It has been bought by IBM. Ustream provides live video streaming services via the cloud, but it's looking blue, and big blue, in fact, because of IBM, who bought them out. IBM said Thursday it would acquire Ustream and make the San Francisco company part of IBM's new cloud video services business unit. Financial terms were not disclosed, but some speculation said the deal could have been worth $130 million. And that is it for the news, Brad. Oh, wait, I think I have one more story. Nope, that's it. That's all I have.
Is that it? That's it?
I think so, unless I'm missing. Nope, that's it.
Oh, good. Yep. Thanks, Jen. Good sure. Back on the podcast.
Thank you for having me back.
Good, no problem. Let's go to Kaylee first. Have you got any views in them stories at all?
I was very excited to hear about that In-N-Out thing. Me and my family are very big fans of that. When we visited San Francisco, that's all my brother and dad wanted to eat. They just kept saying In-N-Out burgers, In-N-Out burgers. So that made me very excited.
That's cute.
I want a burger here in Melbourne.
If you get one, if you get one, send it up here, Brad.
Okay, we'll just
Uber it.
Mm-hmm. Uber Eats.
That's yeah, Uber it. Eats. So, yeah, what else, Kaylee, do you want to say? Any else? Any other views you want to say about them stories?
No, I heard a lot of techie stuff, and I'm still figuring all that stuff out. The Nest thing I found exciting, though. That seemed interesting, and yeah, I don't.
Okay. All right, let's go to Daryl. What about you, Daryl?
I think with the In-N-Out burgers, I think they sound yummy, but they also sound like sort of portable coronary material as well for people my age. So, but I think, I wouldn't mind trying it out if they actually come to a place close to me, but I don't know whether they'll get down to even Melbourne. So, but I'd like to try them out. Ustream's interesting, because now that, you know, Big Blue was going to purchase them, maybe that will, I mean, IBM's such a big company with its cloud services too, particularly for corporations, that maybe that'll make Ustream even more powerful to compete with, you know, services like Twitch and YouTube Live. So it'll be sort of watch this space, I guess, to see what IBM are going to do with it. The thermostat leaked zip codes from Nest. I think it's one of those things that we're going to hear more and more of, because as we have this sort of, you know, Internet of Things, where other devices outside of computers and phones and tablets, they're all going to be connected to the internet. We're going to have issues of security, and I've sort of got this, you know, horrible view that one day might, you know, when things like fridges and toasters and all that are connected to the internet, imagine getting a virus where the toaster starts to, you know, erupt toast everywhere, or the fridge suddenly lurches forward, and, you know, and so it's one of those, you know, horror movie scenarios. But yeah, seriously, yeah, I think it's going to be one of those issues that we're going to find that as we have all our appliances become internet aware, we're going to need to maintain security. Yeah, Memo's app sounds like a lot of fun. I haven't actually had a chance to download it, but I'd like to have a play with it at some stage. And just a thing for Apple, I downloaded GarageBand yesterday on the iPhone. It was an update, and the update was 1 gig in size. Wow. Please, Apple. I mean, it was an update. Wow. It wasn't the full app, but they seem to, whenever they update their full app, like their app, it's like you download the complete app again, and like 1 gig, Apple, come on, boys and girls over there.
That was for iOS?
Yeah, iOS. Yeah, it was an update for GarageBand, and it was one gig.
So, yeah, that's a huge update.
Yeah, so I think they need to sort of seriously look at paring that down, because that makes it hard for people. If I mean, I just plugged in it at home and did it, but I mean, seriously, you know, they do need to look at it. But yeah, that's my views.
All right, good stuff. Darryl, let's go to Jacob. What about you, Jacob?
Well, for one thing, I would like to talk about those hoverboards.
Sure, mate.
Yeah, I saw for a few pictures someone was trying to use it that just bursted on the right side.
Yeah.
It was a big flame. The guy was lucky enough that he jumped off quick enough. Yeah, you could hear him using a few expletives, because he got singed just a little bit on the back of his leg.
I know, it's happening all over the place.
Yeah, and also the Nest thermostat, that's not good. They need to fix their stuff, so people won't go in there and get their location information and stuff like that. And the internet, I like that. Brad needs to get up there and get some.
What's that, Jacob? What did you say?
I was just saying you need to go up to the In-N-Out Burger and get some.
Get me some burger.
I wish.
Yeah, get a burger.
Yes, get a burger. I love burgers. What else, Jacob? Anything else you want to say, mate?
Well, I have something to say about Ustream. I'm just wondering if it's going to change or anything. They're going to change it.
Good question. Steve, what about you? What are you going to do about Ustream when it all...
Yeah, that's actually, I just caught it when you guys put it in the show notes. I must have missed it. But yeah, because I currently stream on Ustream. I was kind of worried, well, are they going to, you know, kind of get rid of the, you know, smaller independent streamers such as myself, take away the free version or something like this? Of course, when I had Justin TV, they shut that down because they just had Twitch. To me, if that really did happen, for some reason I had to leave Ustream, it's not a big deal. I don't have nearly as many viewers as when I was on Justin TV. And actually going to even a smaller, more independent video streaming service, I think Vaughn Live or Vaughn TV or something like that, there's some of the other ones, probably might actually be better. I think I could probably get more viewers off of there anyway. But of course, I think this would be good for IBM because video really is big. And I believe reading the news story, they were getting like 80 million viewers a month. So it could be handy for them, for their clients, business clients, enterprise. So,
all right. Kaylee actually dropped out because they're having a snow blizzard over there. And I think her mum just messaged me and saying her lights and that I'm going off the internet. So. I'm not sure if she's back or not. So
if she can't, well, you could rebook her for next week or something. But yeah, it's understandable. Apparently, is it the east coast of the states is copping a fearsome cold blast?
Yeah. What part of the United States is she in?
Virginia.
She's right north of me. So they're getting it a lot worse than I am getting it here. Yep. And it's bad here. So, yeah.
Yeah, they'd be getting hammered.
Yeah.
Okay, so Ben, any opinion on them stories, mate?
Oh, geez, where do I start? Okay, so the music memos for iOS, that looks like a great one. If it takes more than 5 seconds, though, to load up and be ready for me to use, I'm going to forget what I was inspired by and I have to start all over again. But, that's looking really good. I really like the idea of the tuner being incorporated into the app, which is a smart idea. iMovie, it's always been a bit of a hassle with some of the people that I know and work with. They take it away, then they give it back, and they take it away. Hopefully, they're giving it back, and it's not going to cost anyone anything. The YouTube sharing fix and stability improvements, that's just something that's been needed for a while. Yep. So I'm really glad to see that. Let's see, the Nest thermostat, leaking zip codes. Zip codes in themselves is not really a massive deal, but it does highlight that this is just the tip of the iceberg. Manufacturers need to take responsibility for the data they're collecting. Data is not an asset. It is a liability that's going to cost you time and money to keep safe. And with the new privacy laws that have just come in last year in Australia, this could spell some really big problems for people down the track when they do eventually get breached. Ustream being bought by IBM, I can see this being a big deal in the future. So a lot of the larger companies are looking at these video properties and saying this has got some sort of ad revenue attached to it, or some sort of research, or some sort of data attached to it, which provides value to those big companies, gives them extra resources for research, and just all these things that, namely IBM, is very, very good at. It's also, in my opinion, going to fire off a whole bunch of smaller startups when it comes to video sharing. So just recently I've been playing with Blab. So if you go to a website, it's a desktop version of a sort of like Periscope, but it's like a four-way video chat. It's actually quite efficient and it works really well as far as a beta goes. So if you just go to blab.im and check it out, I think you'd be pretty impressed. So that's a lot of fun. The hoverboards, yeah, they are going to explode. You're standing on a battery that's containing a whole bunch of energy, and when things go wrong, this energy wants to get out, and it usually gets out in the shape of smoke and flames. But I think the biggest crime of all with those hoverboards is the name of the company, Swagway. Really? Come on, guys. If you've got to call it Swag, I mean, it's not cool anymore.
No. Agreed.
Yeah, and Berg as well. Look, I'm 3 hours behind the Eastern Coast, but about 20 years behind the United States, so I don't expect to see any In-N-Out Burgers here in my lifetime here in Perth.
Yeah, true. I couldn't see anyone in Melbourne anytime soon as well, but maybe in Melbourne, I'm not sure, Ben, but should be pretty way off, I think.
Yep.
Anything else, Ben, you want to mention, mate?
No, that's about it. Just don't ride hoverboards, kids.
Yeah, don't buy one. Yeah,
don't do it.
Yeah, don't do it. Crazy.
Yeah, and something to mention about the hoverboard thing.
Yeah, same.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I really thought they would have designed them a little bit better, so that doesn't happen. You know, nah. It's just crazy.
Yeah. Well, you know, and this is old news too, but the fact that if you purchase one from Amazon, the fact that they were refunding everyone their hoverboard cost and telling everyone to throw them away. So that happened to my little cousin, actually. He got a refund for his, and yet he still kept his hoverboard, though. He didn't throw his away.
Why would you throw it away? It's a perfectly good hoverboard until it blows up.
Until it blows up, exactly. Oh, my goodness.
But I think also, I mean, Ben's right with the fact that the actual design, having the energy source right underneath you, but I think also there were concerns of the sort of the cheap knockoff versions coming in from China that had no even rudimentary safety controls in them that were being sold, and people were just totally unaware of that and buying. And no, I didn't explode. I think there's been a couple of instances in Australia where people have just had their hoverboard in the house somewhere and they've exploded and caused fires in the house.
Yep. And in the States, there's been a lot of accounts of that also. And there was one recently where somebody was just doing an unboxing video. He unboxed it and put it down and just tried to turn it on for the first time, and it caught on fire.
Whoa.
I can say one.
It's
a knockoff of a Segway.
Yep. Yeah, it is kind of a knockoff of a Segway.
No, yeah, without the handrails and stuff like that.
Yeah. And I don't like the name. I don't like the fact that they took advantage of Back to the Future and they went with that name. You know, I mean, now hoverboards for the in the future are just kind of, you know, it's
still got wheels. It's not moving.
The good name of Mattel hoverboard has forever been tainted by the Swagway. It's
exactly,
terrible.
Exactly. Yes, thank you. Well said.
All right. Any other news? Jennifer, any other news? Any other views?
You know, the Nest thermostat one. There was another thing about this Nest thermostat, and I posted this on my Facebook page recently, was just a few weeks ago, they had a software update, and the software update ended up turning off or disabling the battery of the Nest thermostat, causing temperatures to drop here in the United States in the wintertime in these homes. So they couldn't get their Nest to work because the battery went out due to the software update. So that's another thing to be aware of. So first of all, with Internet of Things devices, we have potential hacking into the devices. We have the security vulnerabilities that are in the devices. Even my Ring doorbell has a vulnerability where someone can hack in and get my Wi-Fi access. And so that's out there, right? Jeez. So number one is that. And number two, what happens when something goes wrong? What happens when there is a glitch? What happens when there is a software glitch and you rely upon these devices to control your thermostat, to control your locks, to control whatever in your home? And when they go astray, what happens then? You know, so I think it'd be great to have a manual override built into everything, you know, everything, Internet of Things, whatever, even in our cars for our windows, even a manual override for the windows to roll them down when to go down as basic as that. But I think that's something that we have to look into. And also further security, it's really going to be interesting to see what hackers can do to get into our homes and into our systems and, you know, kind of navigate their way in through these devices. So they're exciting and I love them and I love the contextual smart world that we're in. But at the same time, it's kind of, you know, I mean, and I'll continue to use them. I'm not going to not use these things, but at the same time, we have to totally be aware of it and have some really smart people come up with a solution, I guess. Hey.
And it wouldn't take much to pin it down either. I mean, it's something as simple as a point-to-point VPN tunnel going from the device to the service that's hosting the data for that device. Just something to encrypt the data between the two points is a good step forward.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And it's nothing.
All right. What about you, Alicia? Have you got any views and stories at all?
No, that's all very technical for me. But just to give you a person's perspective who has visual impairment and struggles to use their oven or their dishwasher or their washing machine, I love anything that can be connected through my iPhone or my iPad because I can use all of the magnification abilities within that. So I sort of now when I start to use the net more to do things, I pretty much go out there knowing that at some point fraud or hacking, like my details are out there, I can't really do anything about it. It's just a risk I'm prepared to live with to make my life easier to use everyday appliances.
Interesting. Okay. That's good to know.
Yeah, you know, that's something I haven't thought about. That's really an interesting perspective, and thank you for bringing that up because it does help with that, you know, and those are things that I haven't even thought of. I thought about mainly just convenience, but wow, it can really, really assist in your situation and other situations like that. So
yeah, it's great. It's really good. Just the simple thing of an iPhone, just to have when I got my first iPhone about 5 years ago, that just changed my whole world. Just giving me back so much independence.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, so I'm scared of technology and the, you know, things that happen. My son grew up hating me because I would never give him my credit card to shop online. And in the end I just had – and I working in the finance industry, I know how easy fraud happens on accounts. So I would never, ever put any of my details out there. But like I said, I've sort of just come to the awareness that it's going to happen at some point and, you know – you'll get it back. So.
Yeah, exactly. It's happened to me a few times too, you know, and that's the thing. There is that level of convenience. How much privacy or security are we willing to sacrifice for that convenience?
Yeah.
And to me, it's a fair sacrifice.
Yeah. I've started to work that out. It's taken me a little while, but yeah, I'm working that out.
I think it's a matter with privacy of the people who need to know about that information. Your information have access it, but everybody else doesn't, and I think that's the issue. And I think they're like with the Internet of Things. I think it's a learning process. The companies that are producing the Nests and all this other stuff, they're learning as they go along. Well, okay, you know, and of course the hacker community is the same. You know, oh well, we no longer just need to be able to, you know, break into Windows machines or do. I think now there's, you know, the fridge or there's the microwave or something, and so it's going to be a bit of an arms race. But yeah, I'm a little bit the same. My visual disability is probably not as bad as yours, but Alicia, but I sort of, yeah, technology is fantastic. You know, it just seems to magnify computer screens and yeah, the iPhone to be able to sort of, you know, magnify things at work when someone hands me something on a document that's so tiny and they forget that I can't read it properly is just, it's just a godsend. And Apple's very good with their and it's a credit to Apple, they're very good with their accessibility tools in iOS.
Yes, they are. And when I've got the 6 Plus now, when that came out with the bigger screen, I was just in heaven.
Yep, it's often overlooked in the wider tech community when issues are being talked about. But yeah, there's a whole accessibility issue of using technology for good to bring the things that a lot of people take for granted as day-to-day activities to put them in the realm that everybody can do it and have some independence.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, I've seen a blind woman. She had she didn't even have the recent iPhone. This has been several years ago. She just had the iPhone, I think it was 3G or G3 or something like that, and it didn't even have Siri on it, and she had the text to voice on, and so she had it set up really high rate, so she'd actually flip through it real fast, and she could like operate her phone like pretty quickly through the different, you know, setting up the applications, and so I just can imagine now how it's easy for her to, you know, she can use Siri and, you know, Google Now or whatever it is.
Yep. Yeah, it's great technology. It also reminds me of someone I met. What was it, last November, not the one just gone, the one before that, I went into iiNet as I was one of the people invited to come in for a week and just see everything going behind the scenes. And I met this woman in customer service. She was vision impaired, heavily vision impaired, as in like zero happening. And she had she was doing phone support. So people would call up, ask about their account, and she'd have the caller in one ear. And in the other ear, they had a text-to-speech engine running on her desktop PC, which is running at something like 12 times normal speed. So she was not only having a conversation with the person on one side of her head, the other side of the head was reading all the text and all the account details and everything. I mean, it's just mind-blowing to see what is possible with technology, and also when people adapt to it, it is just amazing. I couldn't make head or tail of this gibberish it was being spewed out from the computer because she put it on loudspeakers and I could not understand it. It's really amazing stuff.
Yeah. Even I'm amazed with people like that because, you know, I have some sight and magnification normally gets me through most situations. But I recently saw one of our newsreaders here in Australia, she reads for the radio news. She has like 3 things going into her head at the same time and then she's turns that into a news broadcast. So yeah, amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And we use the internet to watch cat videos. What are we doing?
They are funny.
They are funny, very funny. So yeah, any other views, Jennifer, on the stories, or is that it?
Let's see. That, you know what, I think that the music memos for iOS is really cool. Yeah, I think that's a super idea. You know, I'm all the time for me, I'm not a musician, so I don't have jingles that pop in my head or things that I need to write down or record. But when I come up with notes, I always go to the voice recorder. So I think this is fantastic to have something for music memos for musicians. So Yeah.
Definitely.
So good on Apple.
Good on you.
Good on Apple, yeah.
Okay, so, Dara, what do you want to move to next, mate?
I think we will have a speak with our guests, I think. Yeah, right. Alicia, yeah.
A chat with Alicia first, Daryl?
Yeah, that's right. And so it was so firstly, again, welcome to the podcast, Alicia. And can you sort of tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're involved in at the moment?
Yeah, so at the moment, and the reason I guess I'm a guest on your show today is I recently have been working with the Macular Disease Foundation here in Australia, who are wonderful people who support people like myself who are losing their sight through macular degeneration. And they asked me to tell my story, which is up on their website for you to have a look. And it's, I don't know, people seem to think I'm amazing. I just think I'm normal. And it's just to help people who are being diagnosed with macular degeneration to show that you can still have a normal, happy, healthy life doing all the things that you enjoy, even though you are losing your sight. And the things that have made this more possible for me is things such as the iPhone and the technology I use at work. Like I said, I've worked with my company now for 25 years, and as my roles change, my technology changes to help me facilitate those roles. So yeah, that's how I got involved with the Macular Disease Foundation.
That's interesting. Can just for those that may not know what, you know, macular degeneration is, could you sort of give a brief description of what sort of what it is and without the adaptive technologies and that, what you're able to do or and how it progresses?
Yeah. So for me, and like I said before, I have Stargardt's disease. So it's the retina. So for me, the cells in the center of my retina are dying. So I have the opposite of tunnel vision. I have peripheral vision only. My central sight is gone, and that's typical in most causes of macular degeneration. So in the center, for me, I see colors. I see, you know, like the kids' kaleidoscopes, you look down the tube and you twist it and you see all the different colors. That's what it's like for me. But that's unique to me. Often it's just like a gray blur. And you often don't, it's really weird, you often don't know what you're not seeing until you realize that you didn't see it. I can be looking, driving in the car with my husband, and all of a sudden a car appears in front of us from nowhere, and it's been there the whole time. It's just I wasn't really focusing or paying attention, and it was in the spot where I couldn't see. So, and I fall over things quite a bit. But, yeah, you can't things like reading, seeing distance, things like that become very difficult because you need the magnification to make things bigger, or they just get lost in that spot where you can't see.
Yeah, I think isn't macular degeneration, like, well, at least in Australia, it's one of the most common forms of visual disability, and particularly for older people.
That's correct. Yeah, it does. Mine is a form of juvenile macular degeneration, but it definitely aged macular degeneration is one of the largest causes of vision loss in older Australians.
So all this adaptive technology, you know, it could have a very wide user base. You know, if Australia, if it's high rates in Australia, I'm sure that, you know, that it's probably the same in the rest of the world.
Yes, yes. And for older people, you know, technology itself is scary for them, and then to be faced with losing their sight as well, I can imagine would, you know, even limit their world even more broadly. But, you know, I really encourage people to try, you know, I've only learned as much as I have because I'm lucky enough to have a 20-year-old son who is quite cluey with stuff. So whenever I get stuck, I've got him to go to. But, you know, I just press buttons and try different things. My husband hates it because if I can't see anything, I just press buttons till I work it out or something happens. Don't touch that. He's the total opposite of me. Like, he won't touch anything unless he knows exactly what the outcome's going to be. Whereas I just hit buttons until I get a result. You know, someone will fix it or reverse the damage you do somewhere.
So is anyone, any of the other, Ben, do you have any questions or comments for Alicia?
One thing that really struck me is Alicia just mashes buttons until she gets a result. And I actually encourage this. Yes, partly because I'm an IT consultant and I fix this sort of thing, but it's also one of the better ways that people can learn about the technology they have in their hands. If you're too scared to try something different, you're not going to get very far. You've got to actually go out there, experiment, learn, and believe it or not, that's kind of how I started. And look at me now. You got to get in there and you got to experiment with things. So you've got to really play with it.
Yeah,
I agree 100%. I just had to throw that in there. That's how I learned everything that I know as well. So good saying that, Ben.
Thank you.
And I talk mostly about my iPhone because that's what I use every day. I'm never without it. But I also have a CCTV I like to knit and crochet, and that's one thing my nan tried to teach me when I had perfect sight until I was 19. And God bless my nan, she tried to teach me for years to knit and crochet, and I was just no good at it. But it was only when I started losing my sight that I really tried hard. And now, you know, without the use of the magnification of my CCTV, when I make a mistake, that I've got no hope of fixing it. But I use that, and that's really good. I also have a little handheld magnifier called a Zoom Max Snow, and that's a little, like, pocket-sized electronic magnifier that I use in shops and restaurants to read menus and price labels and
I've seen those. The Vision Australia, is it? Yes. Vision Australia have them, and they're fabulous devices.
They are really good, and they've also got a cable you can connect to your TV. So then the device itself becomes the camera, and the TV becomes the monitor. So when you're like, I have a 60-inch TV like I do, then you know, you've got everything awesome. Up in front of you. So
that's brilliant. Love it.
Yeah, I'm actually. Yeah. I've just been investigating how to get my iPad to connect to my TV and come up, so I can.
Oh, you need an Apple TV, Alicia.
Yes, that's what
it.
I read.
We're actually giving one away. Just on that note, we are giving one away.
I was googling. You know, how do I do this? And
yeah,
talking about AirPlay.
Yeah, AirPlay. You can mirror your iPad onto the Apple TV.
That's right.
So yes, I'm off to the Apple Store. Those
okay
to make that happen, and I discovered the iPad Pro. I hadn't seen.
Yes, I got one yesterday or the other
day. So because you know the screen is huge,
it is,
and I've got an iPad too, that's how old mine is. so I'm saving, I'm going to raid the piggy bank to invest in an iPad Pro.
I love the iPad Pro, it works fantastic. I would get one.
Yes, I definitely am going to.
When will you be going to the Apple Store?
To get my iPad, my Apple TV, probably tomorrow. I'll go for a wander over there and
okay. Have a look. Let us know how you go.
I will.
Yeah, we'd love to hear. You know, it's great. Apple TV is a great device, but we'd love to hear. I mean, the views of someone who's using it, not just because of your visual issues, that how it helps you.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and I don't really know what made me think of it. Why? I don't know what I was doing on my iPad that made me think, oh, God, I wish I could do that on a big screen like my telly. And that's what made me go hunting to see how that could happen. So, I can't remember what the catalyst was for me wanting to do this, but I'm going to do it.
All right. Good on you, Alicia. Jacob, any questions for Alicia at all before we go to Ben and have a quick chat with him?
Nothing really. It's all been said already.
All right, mate. Good on you. You're a champion. Jennifer, any questions for Alicia?
And I do not have any questions right now. You guys did cover it all already. So great talking with you, Alicia.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Alicia. Appreciate your time being on the show. Do you want to hang around and have a chat with Ben?
Yeah, I'll have a listen.
All right, cool. Good to have you on. Appreciate your time, by the way, Alicia. Then thank you to Tara for emailing me about you coming on the show. She wanted me to get you on. So, yeah, it's been good to have you on.
No, it's been my pleasure. Thank you. And I'm listening and learning too, so that's great.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Okay, let's go to Ben. Ben, tell us about what you do, mate, and good to have you on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me along again, Brad. I'm basically a tech tragic. I've been playing with technology ever since the salespeople were chasing me out of Tandy Electronics, you know, way back in the day. So this was the time of Tandy TRS-82. And, yeah, since then I've just been playing with technology, and it's developed into a hobby, which has then turned into a business, and I now run around fixing technology for people, be it websites, desktops, laptops, network servers, point-of-sale systems. I've even done automatic teller machines.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, basically the weirder the technology, the more interesting I find it. So where I found other techs would shy away from it, I've just basically jumped in and said, yeah, let's give it a go. And 21 years later, here I am talking about technology, which is something I love doing as well.
Yep.
And hopefully helping people learn some more about technology, because it is such an empowering thing to be able to make this inanimate object actually do something and just do your bidding. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is very cool. I love helping people. Mm. Well, yeah, you know, people bring me up and they want help with this sort of thing and this and that sort of stuff. And, you know, it's really cool to get it sorted out for the person, you know. It's really good.
Yeah.
It's really good. So you also do a radio show too, don't you?
Yeah, that's right. I've been with 6PR. So they're a local talkback and sport radio station. They're on the AM band, I know, pretty hard to find, but you know, you'll get there eventually. If you go back in the time machine far enough, you'll find the AM band and tune into 820 on 6PR, and I'm on every Monday night from 8:20 p.m. to 9 p.m. With Chris Ilsley, who sort of found me lying around the streets and picked me up, dusted me off and threw me in a chair. And it's just been a wild ride from then. It's just been a lot of fun.
How long have you been doing it for?
About 5 years now.
Oh, wow. That's long.
Yeah. So it's been a while, but we started off. It was pretty obscure when I first started, because it was from midnight to 1 a.m. on a Wednesday morning, and I tell you that the sort of calls you get around that time of night or day, morning, whatever it is, it's interesting. You get some really, really interesting feedback and input, but with the prime time slot now, it's actually a little more. I don't know. Pedestrian is a bit of a harsh word, but it's stuff that you can work with pretty easily.
Yeah, right. What sort of questions do you get from people when they ring up on that? What sort of questions do you get?
Because it's talkback and on the AM radio band, a lot of people want to know how to reprogram their TVs or learn how to use a DVR.
Okay.
Some people, you know, there's usually the old Samsung v. Apple debate that goes on. So, you know, I might say something about Apple and then the lines light up and they go, well, what about Android? And, it's just the usual stuff. We all deal with this every day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know what you mean. And what's your view on Apple? Are you an Apple person or an Android person?
Because of what I do, I can't claim anyone's side. I'm going to cut myself out of 50% of the market if I say I'm only Android or I'm only Apple or I'm only Windows. So I take all comers. Apple is a really well-designed product, because they're not only taking care of the hardware, which is well-designed, we've got to admit, but also the software environment and everything. And it all seems to mesh together nicely, and I really appreciate Apple for that. The other side is Android it's highly configurable. You can really, really get into Android and mess with it, and people get some real benefit out of that. And I've also found that, I'm testing an Android phone right now, and the battery life on this thing just seems to destroy the iPhones at the moment. So if you're going to be out on the road, you might find Android working a little better for you.
Okay.
Mm. It's all use cases and things. And then, of course, I play with OS X and Linux and Windows. And you know, I've actually got a couple of Raspberry Pis on my desk that I'm playing with at the moment.
Okay.
And, yeah, just trying to learn more and more and more.
What's your view on the new Apple TV? What just came out just last year. What's your view on the new Apple TV?
I want it. It's simple as that. I want it. It's a nice move with the remote control, that little touch remote control. I think it's a fantastic step forward. That's really good. But and having said that, once you've got it all set up and you've paired your phone with it, you don't really need the remote control anymore.
No, you don't, no.
Yeah. So, but the Apple TV, yeah, it's done well, and I think they've really kicked goals when it comes to getting the content there, because a box is no good without something to watch. So it's the content is the major deal that they've got, and this all comes back to the days when they first started with iTunes and they managed to get a few record labels on there, and it's just progressed from that. So yeah, Apple's done a great job with the content.
Someone mentioned to me yesterday, they said, oh, I'm not going to buy an Apple TV because it doesn't do 4K. And what's your view on 4K?
It's still kind of an early adopter technology, so there's still not many homes with 4K TVs in there. It's nowhere near the majority. So at this point, I'm not going to freak out too much about 4K. High definition
is the best.
It was interesting. I was listening to a couple of podcasts that were from CES in the States, and they were talking about 4K and the fact that there's not yet a unified 4K standard. And people who are rushing out now and buying in or have bought 4K TVs may find in a year or two, if not, if they're obsolete, they're going to be. They may be on the wrong side of whichever standard wins, or if they all combine together and actually create a unified standard, they might be on. So I agree, and it's also particularly in Australia, there's no 4K. I mean, we're still barely getting in some cases on free to air HD content,
let alone
4K content.
Exactly, and these people need to understand. You know, not everyone can get 4K, and we can't use 4K in Australia because our internet is very limited, isn't it?
In some areas, The NBN is rolling out. I'm one of the lucky people in one of those pockets that actually has had NBN for about 4 years now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and cool. It's...
So did you get it to the home? Were you one of the lucky ones that got it fibre to the home before they changed to the note? Yeah. Great.
Yeah, it was actually a deal with one of the estates. So this was a Satterley land release. So I'm not too sure if you guys have Satterley developing anything out in your neck of the woods, but basically he's a big property developer and he releases entire suburbs at a time, and then he does deals with people who provide the infrastructure. One of the deals was that the hybrid fiber cable, so HFC as other people might see it, is that thick black cable that comes into the homes and you screw it into a wall plate and then you plug your TV or internet or anything. It's basically cable internet. That was already put into the estate as it was being built, and you get blazing fast internet down it. We initially had to deal with a smaller ISP, and they had a little bit of a backyard feel to them, but eventually that estate was opened up to other wholesalers, and I'm now with IINet using their IINet fiber service, and it's mostly pretty quick apart from when we have outages just around about Christmas time. Which we might have heard about.
Everyone gets an outage, so at times
48 hours.
Ouch!
That's unbelievable. So Ben, what's your view on streaming, like Netflix and Stan, them sort of stream? What's your favourite TV streaming service? Do you use any of that? Or
I do. I've actually got a Telstra TV, which I've done reviews on as well. I'm a Netflix subscriber, and they've actually got some news coming out as well. They've been quite interesting, so I'll be talking about that either today, tomorrow, or the next day.
Okay.
But I also use...
With Telstra or with Netflix or...?
Netflix. Netflix have
Isn't
been...
Isn't it where they're blocking using a VPN? Yeah, they're blocking Australian users from using a VPN and accessing American content.
Yep.
Right? And that's actually worldwide, so they're blocking everyone using a VPN to get access to the American catalog. This is not so much like an FU to the subscribers in Australia paying for the service and then paying for a VPN and everything. It's more like kowtowing to the rights holders of Australian content or content that's actually being marketed in Australia. What they want to do is they want to make sure that they keep the people supplying the content to them happy so then they can do deals down the track. It does sound like that Netflix is biting the hand that feeds, but in actual fact, I think in the long term, this is going to mean global access for us as Netflix manages to sort of woo the content providers or the rights holders across to a global license instead of regional licensing, which is the bane of our existence.
I think you're right. There's also a few... articles that have been saying that Netflix are only sort of doing this half-hearted.
Yeah, it's really just a show of force, so to speak. It's not going to take much for a VPN provider to change an IP address. It's simple, really, really easy to get around. So Netflix are seen to be doing the right thing. The VPN providers are still providing a service to the subscriber at the end of the day who is still getting access to the US content. Everyone wins.
Exactly. Okay, let's go to Jake. What's your view on all this, mate, real quick? We need to wrap up very shortly.
It's pretty good.
Pretty good? Is that all you need to say? Is that all you want to say?
From what I was hearing, so...
Okay.
So, and a lot of good stuff was already been said.
All right, mate. Cool. Good to have you on the show. Good to have you on the show, Jacob. And let's go to Jennifer. Any views what Ben's been speaking about?
Yeah, definitely. Well, especially when we're talking about the Netflix right now, and yeah. And you're right, it is something that needs to be done, and to get the agreements in place and to make everyone happy for the Australian content providers, and so that makes sense, all across the world for that matter. But I bet you, even though they're shutting down the VPNs for this, I bet you that people will find another way still to access the content one way or another. So I love what you do. I love the fact that you've been into this since you were a kid, back in the Tandy computer days. So that takes me way back, and got into radio and podcasting and get to do IT help. So it sounds like you're really able to work in the industry that you love. And that's fantastic. Well, so what's the if someone wants to find you online and access, because you do your radio show, is that podcasted also, or do you do a separate podcast in addition to the radio show, or what exactly? I know you're doing the radio, but are you doing the podcast in addition to that? Is that how it works?
I'm a bit of a cheater. So when I finish the radio show, I have the guys at the station send me a copy, and I'm also lazy, so when I finally get it together, I edit it and then I post it onto my website, which is easywireless.net.au, and that's spelled EZIwireless.net.au. I just try to keep that up to date. Otherwise, you just have to try and catch me live on air.
Well, for me here, I guess I'll have to catch you on easywireless.net.eu. So, or AU. AU.
That's
gotcha,
it.
Gotcha. Yep. AU.
AU. Yeah. All right, let's go to Alicia. Any questions for Ben before we wrap up?
No, but I'll be putting that web address into my favorite, so if I get stuck with anything, I'll know where to go in the future for help.
Oh, thank you. All right. Keep smashing those buttons.
I know, exactly. Oops, I pressed this one now. What do I do?
That's it. Steve, what about you, mate?
Yeah, it's a wonderful show, but... You mentioned that there were some people mentioned of Apple TV not being able to do 4K. They did a recent poll on 9to5 Mac, and it was found that about 2/3 didn't really have an issue with it currently, due to not having 4K content and a plethora of other things. So they were just wanting to gain access to this content, and I don't know. Possibly we might see a firmware update. Supposedly the current Apple TV supposedly has enough hardware to...
Yeah, that's my next question to you, Steve. Is that what it can... Can that be supported with a software update, or is that all it needs? Or
technically, from what I read, I think it will be able to. The processor, I could be wrong, but possibly they may be able to do a firmware update and possibly enable it for 4K content, but we'll see. But I heard it's the current hardware supposedly would be able to support it, but we'll see. Yeah.
All right. Good stuff, mate. Good to have you on the show, Steve. Ben, what about you, mate?
Just getting back to the firmware thing. Yeah, Apple, the Apple TV might have the capability to do it, but would Apple be willing to do it?
Yeah.
They could just sell another box.
Yeah, interesting. Mm.
I think it'll depend on how long before 4K really becomes, and before consumers really start saying, we want it. I think Apple will just wait and see. I mean, it's no point. You're right. There's no point in them pushing it out if it's too early. And then if it's later on and the Apple TV 4 is old, then there's no point in them starting it up. They'll say Apple TV 5 or Apple TV 6 will have 4K.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Interesting. Yep. All right. Let's go to Jacob. Where can they get hold of you on Twitter, mate?
They can follow me at jazzbot32669. Onesie.
Okay, you're on Twitter, Brad. I was on a tech webcast. Darryl, what about you, mate?
They can get me at Learnscape on Twitter, and I'm the single user of Google Plus, so I'm Darryl Hunt. So I'm actually just ready to turn off the lights and close the door, but you can still find me there as well.
All right, and do you want to mention the giveaway, one more giveaway, Darryl?
Yeah, so we've been talking about Apple TV, so it's a good segue. Our contest is still running till February 6th, and that is... If you, and you're living in Australia, or you're prepared to fly out to Australia, I guess, we have an Apple TV fourth generation retailed around $239, $240. I think that's about the price. Up for grabs. And all you've got to do is take a photograph of yourself or a loved one listening to Tech Webcast. And, you know, whether you do it artistically or whether you're sitting up a tree or you're at Australia Day function somewhere in the next couple of days, and either tweet it into us at Tech Webcast using the hashtag WinAppleTV, or jump onto our Tech Webcast Facebook page at facebook.com/TechWebcast and post it there. And on the 6th of February, we will be announcing our winner, and some lucky person's going to get an Apple TV 4Gen.
And a and an iTunes card.
Oh, and an iTunes card. Well, look at that. And there's more, an iTunes card.
Because you need an iTunes card. You need to buy content. You can't.
Exactly. You need to have something to play first up.
Exactly, mate. Who else want to go to? Let's go to Ben. Where can they get hold of you, mate, if they want to ask you any more questions?
Yeah, well, apart from the website, you can also find me all over Facebook. Just search for Ben Aylett. That's AYLETT. You can get me on Twitter, which is also just my name. So that is at Ben Aylett. That's BenAylett. Or you can jump onto Google and search for Easy Wireless, and no doubt I'll come up there.
Can't wait, man. All right, I'll add you on Facebook.
Sweet.
Let's go to Jennifer. What about you? Jen, did you enjoy the show?
I love the show. What a great show. Fantastic guests. So it was really a pleasure to be on the show with everyone. And people can find me at jenniferruggiero.com or jruggiero on Twitter, and I'm on Facebook. But all my links are on my website, jenniferruggiero.com.
All right, good stuff, Jennifer. Let's go to Steve.
You can find me on Twitter as chatterbox_live.
All right, good stuff. And Dale, do you want to mention Kaylee real quick about her website?
Kaylee is, and hopefully we'll be able to get her back once the snowstorms have blown over. She's from Tomorrow's Lemonade Stand, and it's tomorrowslemonadestand.com is her website. So if go across and have a look at that. And as I say, we're looking forward to getting her back on a future episode.
Yep, definitely can't wait to speak to her and hear about what she does and that sort of good stuff. Is that it, Daryl? That's a wrap, mate.
I think that another tech webcast is in the can, to quote Leo Laporte.
Alicia, are you on Twitter?
Yeah. No.
Are you not on Twitter? You need to be on Twitter.
I'm not that far yet.
You need to sign up Twitter.
Okay.
Where can they get hold of you if they want to ask you any more questions?
I'm on Facebook.
Okay. Alicia
Thompson. That's about it. I'm not that advanced. You can have my email address, which is really funny. This is how untechnical I am. I couldn't change it. So it's Alicia 0123456 at optusnet.com.
Awesome. Don't tell us your password, though.
No.
That's one thing I have to keep resetting to. So that's all right.
Where's the longest email address?
I know, because I had to change it at the time.
Harder for people to spam.
I couldn't be bothered.
That's all right.
Are we addressing Spaceballs here?
I have no idea what you're talking about, Jacob.
No.
Spaceballs.
Yeah, they had a scene in there that they have on their planet. They have a vault lock on their planet to block in all the air.
And the I know what you're talking about. 12345. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Password. I love that film, Jacob. Such a funny film.
And they're remaking it.
Are they remaking it?
They said a while back they would.
Oh, that would be awesome. Not that they need to. It was so great in itself, you know, all by the way it is now. It's awesome.
All right. That's a wrap. Let's wrap up. Daryl, that's it. Thanks for being on. Guys, Ben, appreciate your time.
Anytime.
And thank you to Alicia for your time as well. Thank you for being on.
My pleasure.
And thank you to Kaylee for coming on. And Jennifer, Steve, Daryl, and Jacob.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you for being on. And Jacob, guess what?
Brad, you've lost the game. Big time.
Because you know why? I have an iPad Pro and you don't.
Gotcha. Tech Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. Because technology, it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Ha! Stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah!
tech webcast. Ha, ha. Tech webcast.
Big ups to Andrew, to Brad, Jody, Steve, and Jennifer. Boom!